Slurp. Meow. Trigger warning.
Ow!
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from a seditious and Sagittarian summit, mining Bitcoin and serving as a
I don't know what that is.
To conspicuously inculcate you with the intricate ideas of individualism, helping you to question obedience and laugh as Western civilization collapses. Can you feel it, Jeremy? Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you feel it, Michael?
Yes, I feel it. I napped. And well, tell the Bipcot thing, and then we'll talk about me and Bipcoin.
Well, as usual, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a Bipcot no government license, which allows use and reuse by anyone except governments, because they're square.
Yeah, they're so square, man.
They're really square.
Yep. So, I slept. It was miraculous. So, my friend Brian and my friend Derek and me and myself. Wait, I got to get it right. Okay, it's Derek Slopey and Brian Gordon, and I got to say the me or the I right, or Derek J. Freeman will write me a snippy letter being like a naughty English teacher yelling at me again. So I forget. Anyway, so if you make fun of anyway, blah, blah, blah. So we put out this thing called Bipcoin, B-I-P coin, not Bitcoin, Bipcoin. And it's kind of taken off. Like, for a new cryptocurrency that's been out 3 days, we worked on it for like 2 weeks, and I started not sleeping well like 4 days before the launch. Not sleeping at all, but sleeping like 5 hours a night, and a week of that kind of wears you out. And today I slept 7.5 hours total in two chunks. And I feel like, oh my, the angels have sung and are licking me in my ears on either side of me. I feel great. And I'm still kind of waking up. It was a deep sleep with my oxygen tube and my CPAP and my auto servo ventilation, you know, like the little life support system in my home. And oxygen really helps, adding that to the other stuff. So I feel like I've been in my astronaut sleep chamber and woken up at the other side of the wormhole, like with, you know how in that movie Logan's Run, they have that thing where you can go in. It's called like the new you. It's like a boutique that does like plastic surgery and body rejuvenation over your lunch break. I feel like I went to that in the future and came back and I feel better. So
wow,
that was great. And so we had like a weird emergency. Like, we went through in the first 3 days of this coin, we went through like everything that Bitcoin went through in the first year. Like, you know, the first sales, the first growing pains, bunch of people jumping on and saying this is really cool, and then like the whole thing looking like it was going to fall apart, and then it getting fixed, and then like some people going, but like the true believers that were there the first 8 hours still going, yes, we're with you. People I don't even know, which is great. So Bipcoin survived. So Lisa, what do you think about sleep?
Sleep? I wish I knew what that was. It's been a long time. If I get maybe 4 hours a night, I'm lucky.
Is this because of your neighbors?
Well, it's partly that. Yeah, that's a big problem.
Oh, I took something.
On their way out. But
I took something. I took hippie Valium. Do you know what that is?
No, it's
my nickname.
Valerian root.
It's valerian root. It's the over-the-counter sleep aid that's like safe. It's so safe, man. It's like, I used to know a guy who took this every day, and he was the most, like, he didn't do drugs, and he was the most centered person I knew. He was Paul Della Pella, the drummer for the band Helios Creed, if anyone knows who that is. My good friend Paul, who's also a Krishna and also from Philly. So Steve may not know him because he's a lot older than Steve, but yeah, he's like my age almost. So, it's a mixture of valerian and tryptophan, which is an amino acid that, you know, exists in milk and turkey. It's why, you know, after Thanksgiving dinner, halfway through the Super Bowl, you just curl up and fall asleep at, you know, your uncle's house. Tryptophan, yeah, man. It's in turkey. Yeah,
food coma. So, valerian, isn't that really smelly, and does it taste icky?
It is. It smells, the pill, it's in pills.
Like socks or something?
But the pills smell like, oh, I wouldn't say socks, but, you know, it's not a smell I'd want to survive, you know, like, I wouldn't want to use it as cologne, I'll tell you that, or incense, yeah, okay, or a scented candle, but, you know, I can, I can choke down two pills as directed, and then quickly cap the bottle and swig it down with water.
How long does it take to work?
I hear Jeremy's crickets.
My cheering's extra, man. They follow me wherever I go. I can't help it.
It's pretty fast. It's about
it's like
20
a Disney
minutes.
Character.
It's about 20
really?
Minutes. And then, but to actually start feeling sleepy, but then like in an hour, you have to sleep. And then you sleep really well. Not necessarily though for like 8 hours, but you know, it's good for like hardcore naps for me when I need them. Like I took a, you know, I got a 4 hour nap out of this. So
I'll take that.
You should take that.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that.
Jeremy,
I've never taken valerian root. I've drank the valerian root tea.
Ugh.
But what's the? Well, you put some sugar in it. You don't really taste it. But what? I've only taken like melatonin for those type of things. What's the difference between the two? Have you taken melatonin too that you can say valerian root stronger?
Let me read this. It's called the stuff I take. It's called Somnipure from Peak Life, and I'm not doing an ad for them. Ingredients, let's see, the active ingredients, that's the inert ingredients. Okay, lemon balm, L-theanine, T-H-E-A-N-I-N, which I believe is an amino acid, hops extract, chamomile flavor, passion flower, and melatonin. Oh, and valerian root. Yeah.
So it has both of it. Okay.
Yeah, and they're pretty big pills. Like, there's like 500 milligrams of valerian root in each one, 300 milligrams of lemon balm, 200 milligrams of hops, and then, like, you know, so they're like, you know, horse pills. Yeah. Yeah.
Yum,
so,
yum.
Somnipure, S-O-M-N-A-P-U-R-E, and they're pretty cheap. I mean, I wouldn't take them every day. I take them about once or twice a month, usually. I actually took them twice this week because I needed it, but... So, anybody else got something to say about sleep before we go on about why I had trouble sleeping and why I can sleep now?
No.
I would just love to sleep restfully. I'll tell you, I took a nap before the show and I just tossed and turned, and I don't have a problem.
Your CPAP?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I don't have a problem going to sleep. I can
lay CPAP, down.
Oh yeah. I can lay down and I'm out in like 15 minutes and I can sleep.
Me too.
Usually I'll sleep for 6 hours if I'm lucky, but I feel like I just went to sleep like 10 minutes ago.
I can't fall asleep or stay asleep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad.
Huh.
It's my brain. As soon as I get in bed, it's like, hey, let's think about all the stuff you have to do, you know.
Yeah,
I think reading helps. Reading is one thing that'll, if I'm laying in bed and I start reading, that'll get me nice and cozy, and I tend to fall asleep.
Yeah, I'm reading a couple of books right now.
And sleep a little bit better.
One is, I read mostly nonfiction about nutrition, so as you can imagine, some of those books make you sleepy. there's one that I've been working on for a couple months, because every time I try to read it, I get tired, but even when I put it down, I can't always fall asleep. It's rough. You know, it's funny because when I was little, I was the kid that always slept all the time. And my mom said, my aunt said, something's wrong with that baby. She sleeps too much. I've never seen a baby sleep like that. And here I am now. And it's a sleepless. And yeah, it's awful. But I'm going to buy some of that stuff.
Huh. Yeah, you should. It's not inexpensive. DJ, how much is Somnipure?
I don't even care at this point. I'll just buy it.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's under 20 bucks, and I think it's more like 10 bucks for a bottle, like, you know, for 20 doses or more of it. So,
you know, if I really need to get to sleep and sleep restfully, and I'll take Tylenol PM or just the PM ingredient. I can't remember what it is. They sell it now. And but those things will knock me right out, and I'll sleep like a dream. But I don't take
what's
that.
What's the PM ingredient? What do you mean?
I don't know.
Oh, the stuff is called
stuff
something.
Yeah. It's called Tylenol PM.
Oh, yeah. I used to know this junkie. I used to know this junkie hooker that I used to hang out with, who back in the day, who was a crackhead. She was a white crackhead who used to be like a ballerina with you know, who was going places, who had all sorts of like, you know, scholarships and stuff. And then she discovered crack and just ended up on the street, you know, doing things for money. And she would come crash my house once in a while and cuddle with me and then, you know, steal my bass guitar and leave while I was asleep afterwards. But after whatever he did. So, yeah, I didn't hang out with her that much.
So the ingredient
is... But she used to use the Tylenol PM, like, when she couldn't get real pills, she would use that to come down from a crack bender so she could sleep.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. That's a ringing endorsement right there. That should be their ad.
Am I the only one... I guess I'm the only one who uses cannabis to go to sleep. I mean,
I have done that.
That does wonders for me.
Right. It does work, yeah.
Nope, that doesn't work for me.
Oh, that's a shame.
I laugh and then I fall asleep.
Decades.
Well, yeah, I know you, Michael, obviously are not going to try that option.
If drugs were legal, I don't think I'd smoke cannabis. I think I'd go back to being a junkie. It was fun.
Well, yeah, you said before that it was never your thing to begin with, even when you were doing it, right?
Cannabis,
so
yeah.
Speaking of all that junkies and fun, I'm almost a week cigarette free.
Oh wow!
Kind of, sort of. Well, working on it anyway. And I've never done heroin, but I'll tell you what, quitting smoking is, well, it's tough.
It's not easy, man.
It's a real tough thing. I've got the nicotine patch and some vape. I've been trying to do that. Just nicotine free, you know, just as a substitute. But I've gotten down to like, sometimes I'll go a day without a cigarette and sometimes I'll have one at night. But wow.
I used to help people quit for a living. So remind me later.
So give me that magic cure. I'm tired of this.
Well, I did it through hypnosis, but I know a lot of tricks. I know a lot about smoking cessation, so I can help you out.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, Elise. One of these days, I'm gonna have to take you up on that because I've been I'm horrible again. I had stopped, and then Fiend Fest happened, and while I was there, I was smoking. And I came home and I was good because I ran out of cigarettes that Saturday and I decided not to buy anymore. And I just vaped for the rest of the time that I was there. And I came home and I was great for a couple of weeks until a buddy of mine came down from upstate and we were hanging out and he offered me one. I was like, oh, one, sure, why not? And the next thing I know, he leaves and left his pack behind and it was almost full and it was just sitting there. And like, and I called him, I'm like, you left your pack? He's like, oh, I'm already headed back upstate. Don't even worry about it. I already picked up another pack. And yeah, I've been horrible ever since. So
yeah, but you know what's interesting is I've found, like, I've tried to quit in the past.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
Yeah.
Too busy talking to the talk radio.
Yeah. That's what we do.
Well, we were continuing our smoking conversation during the break. Lisa's going to save us all.
I am going to save all of you. All of your lungs.
My kids are sitting on top of my computer staring at me.
Oh.
I will be the lung whisperer.
Uh-huh. That's me.
I'm actually...
That's what I need.
You're the lung whisperer? Okay.
I'm the lung whispery.
Whispery.
Whisper to my lungs and make them work better. All right, so... We're talking about Bipcoin. Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin, which is this new cryptocurrency that Brian Gordon and Derek Slopey and I put out and are maintaining. And when you put out a cryptocurrency, it's not just, all right, it's done, here's the thing. It's like, it's an ecosystem of products and services that all have to work together and have to be maintained and like gently purred and, you know, petted. And like, if it gets big enough, the people who start it can disappear, like what happened with Bitcoin, and people take care of that. It's a brilliant system, and it's a brilliant example of decentralization, which is the opposite of like everything governments do, everything banks do, you know, everything corporations do generally. Like, you know, there's one point of failure for all of those.
You know what's really interesting and kind of bugs me at the same time?
Me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, you, Michael.
Go on.
I was talking to somebody online, and they were basically making fun of Bitcoin, calling it a scam, and they were like, well, yeah, I can mine Super Mario Brothers coins from my Nintendo, and, you know. And these are people that understand the Federal Reserve and understand fiat currency and what a scam our monetary policy is. And they're sitting there dissing Bitcoins and all the altcoins and alternatives.
Dissing Bitcoin? Okay. There are people who diss altcoins, and I can see, because some altcoins are scams, and most altcoins have no value. You know, out of the 1,000 or so altcoins, I'd say 5 of them have a reason to exist other than me too. And I'd say right now 6 with Bitcoin. Bitcoin has a reason to exist. And the reason is, it's the Dogecoin of dark currencies. So there's this code that's not Bitcoin, that came after Bitcoin, that solves the problems of Bitcoin. It's called CryptoNote, and there's like 10 coins based on it. Like, out of the 1,000 cryptocurrencies, most of them are based on Bitcoin in some way. So the main thing that CryptoNote coins have that the Bitcoin coins don't have, Bitcoin-derived coins don't have, is absolute anonymity, because Bitcoin is pseudo-anonymous, because you can look at the blockchain, you can tell with certainty that at this exact moment, this Bitcoin address sent this amount of Bitcoin to this other Bitcoin address. And that's true with everything, almost with everything in the galaxy of Bitcoin-derived coins. CryptoNote-derived coins, and there's only about 10 of them, that's not true. It generates, it's kind of like Cody Wilson's dark wallet for Bitcoin, which works, but it's hard to use, built into a cryptocurrency. So what it does is every transaction is obscured on there is a blockchain, publicly viewable, but each transaction is a one-time use temporary address. And the numbers, the addresses are a lot longer. They're like 92 to 96 characters, you know, so they're really long, but that allows for just every transaction has a new address, which, you know, some say you could do with Bitcoin, but some say we'd run out eventually, but that's a whole grains of sand argument. But Bitcoin and Bitcoin-derived coins don't do that. So our coin has a reason to exist. The thing is, though, of those 10 coins, like, none of them are fun the way that, like, Dogecoin was. So ours has a kitty cat on it. It's got a goofy name, Bipcoin. The FAQ is hilarious. The website's funny. Everything about it's kind of goofy and cute. And somebody who says, oh, I could mine that, does not know what they're talking about. You know, I mean, it's literally, well, they're people who say Bitcoin is a Ponzi scheme. No, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, well, that's what I heard. And they were like, well, you can't pay your rent with it, and you can't go and buy gas with it, or, you know,
not
you can't
yet.
Go buy a sandwich.
Days. You couldn't pay your rent with Bitcoin until it had been around about 2 or 3 years.
No, that's what they were talking about, you know? They were referring to Bitcoin. And again, it's that problem of adoption. I was like, well, you know, Bitcoin is getting adopted by a lot of vendors and a lot of places. It's not.
Oh, it is. Oh, Bitcoin is practically cash. You can spend it on Amazon, Microsoft. There's a website called Gift, GYFT.com, and there's another one I don't remember the name of. Purse, yeah, and there's a few of them, like 3 or 4, that, like, you can spend Bitcoin on about 500, you know, brand name sites and services. I mean, like, you know, Sephora.
Nice.
Amazon.
Really?
Yeah. All right, we're out.
We'll talk about this more when we get back from the market.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yeah, see, if my Photoshop skills, if my Photoshop skills were better, that would be, it would be such a better meme. But I made that quickly during the show the other night when we were talking about it, and
I opened up the internet and there it was, and I was like, wow.
Up, I hear the Bip Lord.
I'm too busy talking about Bitcoin and cats to my wife to do talk radio.
So, you're too busy talking about Bitcoin with your wife to talk about Bitcoin on the air. Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to.
No, I was talking about cats. Bipcat, actually.
Oh, Bipcat. Sorry. Gotcha.
And Beast. So the cat that Bitcoin is named after, and the cat's named after the Bipcat no government license, which covers everything that comes out of my mouth.
And the cat is.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the cat is the face of Bitcoin. So
right,
actually, I guess anytime you're talking about Bipcat, you are in some way talking about Bitcoin, whether you want to be or not.
No, but everything we're talking about, the other way around is true. So I want to clarify.
Good point.
I want to clarify. Yeah, because the cat exists as a wonderful being by under her own self. But
this is true.
So I want to clarify when I said that Bitcoin is the Dogecoin of dark cryptocurrencies. And so Dogecoin, if people don't know, is this cryptocurrency people made that the logo of it is a Doge. What are those dogs called? You know, dogs.
Shiba Inus, right?
She has a Shiba Inu,
yeah.
Yes, correct.
Really adorable dog. And there was actually a meme of like that dog and then like Chinglish or Jinglish, I guess, like such wow, many dog, whatever, like bad, funny English. And somebody took that dog and that meme, that, you know, text meme, and made a coin out of it. And it took off, and like, it was just a Bitcoin clone, or actually a clone of a clone of a Bitcoin clone. But it took off because it was cute, and it probably did more to spread adoption for all cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, than like anything except the Silk Road, which was a dark market, drug market run by, our martyred hero, Ross Ulbricht, who, you know, everyone in Liberty knows his name. Although if Bitcoin had existed, probably no one would know his name. And that's none of my business what people do with Bitcoin. But, you know, I think that, you know, he's famous now. I think he would really prefer to not be famous because he's famous for sitting in federal prison for like 3 life terms. You know, I think it's like that kind of stuff. When you die, they leave your corpse there for 70 years. It's known in the legal profession as life plus cancer, that kind of sentence.
Yeah.
You know, multiple life sentences, no chance of parole. Okay, so... But the problem, the way we're better than Dogecoin, other than being a dark coin, is that Dogecoin has no limit on the money supply, which makes it worthless. I mean, like, Dogecoins, even after reaching maturity, are worth less than a thousandth of a U.S. cent. So we have a money supply cap. All right, so go ahead. You have a question there, sir?
Yes, Michael Dean.
Yes, Grandpa. Please, tell me, please, like, go ahead.
Please explain to me exactly what Bitcoin and Bitcoin is, like I'm 65.
Like you're 5 or 65, yeah. Okay, so yeah. Cryptocurrencies, the first one was Bitcoin. It came out about, I think, about 7 years ago. And it was basically, it's basically a math geek problem solved in software that had been, you know how there's math problems that no one can solve, and like there's actually money prizes for them? Like, you know how in, what's that movie with about the janitor who's the genius?
Goodwill Hunting.
That movie? Yeah, yes. Goodwill Hunting. You know how the janitor like solves the thing that's been on the giant blackboard for years?
No, because I can name the movie, but to this day, still never seen
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, basically, like the hero, what's his name, played by what's his name?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a janitor at Harvard, and if this is a spoiler alert, you're stupid because this movie's been out for like 15 years. But it's a really good popcorn flick, and if you haven't seen it, you should see it. But basically, like, it kind of starts with, he's the janitor, one of the janitors at Harvard, but he's from a working class rough neighborhood, and his friends are all working class and rough, and he's a genius and they're not, and you know, he gets in fist fights all the time, and he's Irish American like me, so he gets in fist fights, and so there's this like world-renowned math professor, you know, like quantum physics math professor at Harvard. There are people like this, and there are problems like this, and there's the, he has this problem that, like, you know, it's been published on the internet for years, no one has solved it, and the guy has a blackboard that's like the size of the side of a barn. Now it's like, I don't know, 25 feet by 7 feet or something, 20 feet by 7 feet, with tiny chalk writing on it, and it's been in this classroom, this giant auditorium classroom, for like 3 years, and no one's ever solved it, and the whole world knows about it. And one day he's in there being a janitor alone in the middle of the night, sweep, mopping the floors, and he looks at it, and he like sits down in a chair for like a half hour, and then gets up with chalk and just puts the answer at the bottom, and then just goes back to mopping and doesn't sign it or anything. And like, you know, the mathematical world, the next day, the whole world is trying to find out who solved this, and they finally found out it's him. So there's this mathematical problem that's been unsolvable in software since the internet existed. It's basically how to create trustless exchanges. Trustless sounds bad, but it's actually good. It basically means, like, you don't need a central third party. So up until Bitcoin, if you wanted to transact electronically, like even before the web, like, you know, you had credit cards, you know, that had like beef. When I was a kid, my mother's store took credit cards, and this is what I worked in the store sometimes as a teenager. When someone used a credit card in the 70s, what we had to do was call the credit card company and read the number to them over the phone, and then use one of those like ka-chunk, ka-chunk things that made a copy with a carbon copy for them and one for the store. But we literally had, if it was over $50, we had to call up American Express. And, you know, there wasn't much waiting time. It's like they had banks of operators for that. Now it's done electronically over wires, over the internet, over secure internet, encrypted internet. And, you know, the thing is, too, like, the government wants a backdoor into every secure system. Like, that's the basis of banking. And it's like, think how many times the government agencies get hacked. You know, if they had a backdoor to everything, nothing encrypted would work, including credit cards. So there's been this theory since, like, you know, the internet's been around since like 1969, and not in the form it is now, but in the form of like decentralized connected computers. And about a couple years after that, like, mathematicians and software engineers have tried to solve the problem of, like, how can we do a trustless transaction that you can't have double spending? You can do the trustless transaction, but we couldn't do it without double spending, which means, how do you prove, you know, if Bob sends Alice some money on this system, how do you make sure that, like, Chandler doesn't see it and spend the same coin, at the digital coin, at the same time? That's been impossible till Bitcoin. Bitcoin solved that, and it was kind of like, you know, I've never made this connection, but it's kind of like the guy in Goodwill Hunting, because the guy who solved it did it anonymously. It was solved by someone who went by the name Satoshi Nakamoto. He posted on the forum Bitcoin Talk after it started, when Bitcoin was something that only a handful of cryptographers knew. BitcoinTalk.org is still around. I have an account on there. It's where you announce a new coin. You have to announce there, or it's considered, you know, a pre-mine. We announced on there. We also did a pre-mine, but it was like 0.1%. Pre-mine is considered sleazy, where you like mine, you know, between 10% and 80% of the coin. Like Steam did like 75% pre-mine, and it was done in a way that seems really sleazy. Like basically they announced it publicly and said, we're releasing this today, and there was like zero coin mined. And they said, you know, here's the software. You have to compile it. There's no GUI. There's no, not even a compiled command line version. You have to compile it yourself. And here's the directions to use it. And the directions contained an error. Like, you know, it said you have to use a letter instead of a number. And when people asked on the forum, like, this isn't working. Like the creator of it ignored them for days and days and days, until he had mined about 70, he and his buddies had mined about 75% of it, and then went, oops, I'm sorry, I forgot, I always forget to carry the one or whatever. So that's considered sleazy. And some coins have done that with between 10 and 80%. And it's sleazy because it's like, as a coin is mined, and mining is basically putting your computer to solving problems connected with other computers, math problems that are hard to solve but easy to verify. They're like expensive in computing power and energy to solve, and practically free for another computer to verify absolutely that your computer solved this. So it's a block. It was solved by the blockchain, and there are many blockchains. Every coin has its own blockchain. When people say the blockchain and they don't know what they're talking about, like, well, let's put it on the blockchain, that's like saying, you know, let's put internets on the magic fairy whistles. It's like, yeah, no, which blockchain, you know? Right. If you're going to sprinkle unicorn dust on it and call it cocaine, don't invite me to your party. So I'll bet that's going to be one of the
that sounds
tomorrow.
Kind of fun, but
that's going to be one of the themes out of context tomorrow.
Yeah, it has to be.
So, okay, so the blockchain was invented by Satoshi Nakamoto, who no one knows who he is. He disappeared like a year maybe after creating Bitcoin. Has, you know, people have speculated all sorts of speculation of who it is. And nobody really knows. I mean, it could be one guy. It could be a team. It could be the NSA. It could be, I don't think it's NSA. It could be a team at Google, you know? It could be it could be anything. It could be a bunch of people. But nobody really knows who it is. I have a theory. There's a theory of like seven people who it might be. I think it's Hal Finney, who is a pre-Bitcoin cryptographic pioneer. And he was the first person other than Satoshi himself to use Bitcoin, file bug reports, and make improvements. And he died of some illness. And that would explain the fact that the first like bunch of Bitcoin that was pre-mined, and it was less than 0.1%. So our pre-mine anyway is not really to be called a pre-mine because it's so tiny. It was basically just testing live. It doesn't have the stink of the word pre-mine. And that's not just me saying that. That's the internet saying that. So, but Hal Finney died, and there's like $50 million worth of Bitcoin, the first Bitcoin ever made, and it's never been spent. So I think it's Hal Finney, because he's dead. He died. I think he died before he could spend it.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Yep.
Arms.
Who is Satoshi Nakamoto?
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick and tired of peaceful people being banned from so-called Liberty events? How about Liberty festivals that are more regulated than a government housing area? Now you can do something about it. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the 4th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held Friday, August 26th through Monday the 29th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. There will be canoeing, kayaking, hiking, fishing, swimming, presentations, discussions, and bacon. Lots of bacon. This event is both adult and family friendly, and best of all, no overbearing central planners. There will be free Freedom Fiends and Bipcat merch while supplies last. And don't forget the longer leashes for the Bow Wows and Woof Woofs. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, Fest.org.
Me too. Nice tropical one though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the Bipcoin Podcast. Bip. Bip. That's B with a bip. Yeah. Yeah. So, you have questions, people?
I don't even know where to start.
Well, if we're going to get back into Bipcoin and go further along with that actual process, why can't I mine anything, Michael?
Okay, there you go. I'd like to know that too.
Well, can you install the CLI Windows wallet?
Yes, no.
Not getting satisfaction. You're just not catching blocks, right?
Yeah, I haven't caught. And I understand that I have a very low processing speed, well, comparatively to other people.
Have
that
you
are
checked your
up.
Hash rate?
No, I don't even know how to do that.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, can you tell us what that is?
I don't actually, like, yes, that's actually, 65. Yeah, to back up even further, what is a hash rate?
It's basically the amount of mining power that a given computer,
there you
or
go.
Bank of computers, or pool of computers has.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
How do I check that, Michael?
Hang on a sec, I'm multitasking. I'm answering questions on the,
okay, our questions take precedent because we're on live radio. They no, can wait.
He's too busy answering questions to...
Yeah. Okay, so...
Listen, Bip Lord.
And I want to get on this train, so come on here.
Yeah. All right, so in both things that you have open when you have the CLI wallet open, Bipcoin D and Simple Wallet, you can type help and hit enter, and you'll get commands. All right?
Oh, I didn't see hash rate in there.
It's in wallet. Are you opening your wallet?
Determine. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And it's one of the commands, so help. It's in Simple Wallet, and it's, God, what is it? I haven't even memorized all these yet. They're different than Bitcoin. Some of them are. A lot of them are. So,
okay, Michael, so I have a really important question that would probably apply. I have two, currently, let's say, I have 2 to 3 Windows computers. And I want to install the wallet.
Okay, let me answer her question first, though. It's
my question. Yeah, it's not in there, Michael.
It's show. It's in Bitcoin D. It's show_HR, and then to stop, and it'll show it over and over and over every few seconds. And to stop it, you hit hide _HR. But it only works. That only works when the Simple Wallet is open and running and mining. All right. So you got a question there, son? Yeah.
Yes. So let's say I have a couple of computers, right?
Yeah.
And install the wallets on them. Can I have it so that it's all the different computers that are mining Bitcoin are still going to me or whatever my wallet is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I can.
Yeah, you mine with the CLI wallets. You mine to your own wallet. You know, you don't even have to put in the address. You mine to that wallet. You could then send them to other wallets, you know, and pool them all together. But and you know, I told you in that tutorial how to back it up, and you should always back it up. But what you can do too, it's kind of interesting. If you back up the, you know, wallet name. .wallet and wallet name .address are the two files. You can actually run them on a different computer, which is, it's kind of weird and spooky. Like I have a computer down in the basement, an old computer with a fan on it, because I don't want to hear the fan at night, you know, so it won't overheat. So but I saved the, you know, name of the wallet .address and name of the address .wallet and brought them up and put them on another computer, and I can log into it from there. Because what you have to understand is, like, the coins, quote unquote, in a cryptocurrency aren't on your computer. They're on the blockchain, which exists on multiple computers on the internet, all having a copy of it. See, that's what happened last night. There was a problem. Was a guy started a pool, which is basically like kind of a workers' union of miners, where like the pool software, you know, you connect to him and the pool software, this exists for every coin, the pool software, like when the hash rate gets hard enough on the whole thing to where it's hard to mine on one computer. You can do it on one computer the first day or so, or like pre-mine, but then it gets harder when more and more people join. And oh, we're almost out. I'll explain that when we get back. All right, worms. I'll be back. Worms.
Woohoo. More Bitcoin chat. Maybe I'll actually land something eventually.
Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial satellite lit pair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by PIPCOT, no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at PIPCOT.org. And you should go back and listen to the first hour, because I think we explained it in the first hour.
Bitcoin is so easy to use. I'm actually sending Lou a tiny bit of Bitcoin to test his new QR code. And to do that, and I'm doing this while I'm doing the show, and I'm like solving problems that people are having with my coin while we're doing the show. So, which I can do after a good night's rest and then 1 hour drinking coffee before I wake up, which is what I got. Coffee, it's what's happening. I can't wait till you can get coffee with Bitcoin, though. So, what was your question? I want to say one thing. So, last night, we had this this issue. There's a guy running a mining pool, which is, like I said, kind of a... It sounds socialist, but it's really libertarian. It's because it's not forced. It's basically like a worker-owned business in a good way. So it's like when the difficulty gets too hard with a particular coin, and it's hard or impossible to solo mine and actually get blocks, which it may have been the last couple days when we were having yesterday when we had this problem for you guys, but it's fixed, I think, so you can try again and you should be able to get some blocks. You know, stacking mad squittens. But so the thing is, this guy was running a pool, which is, like I said, like a coin isn't just a coin. It's an ecosystem. And part of the ecosystem is mining pools. And, you know, we were going to set one up eventually, but it was a little bit down on the list because you can still solo mine until this guy started a pool. But you can still solo mine now. But what happened was there was something wrong, we believe, with his configuration. And last night, he started getting blocks ahead of us. Like, the block number is something you can search in the software to see, like, what block number you're at. He started getting, like, one or two blocks ahead. And by like 4 or 5 hours later, he was like 65 blocks ahead. So basically that means the blockchain has forked and there are now two blockchains. So, and it was basically an unintentional 51% attack is what it's called, because he had 51% of the hashing power of the whole ecosystem at the time.
Wow.
But the guy's really cool. He's helpful. He's not doing intentionally. You know, he's just trying to help people out and make a little altcoin here and there. He does that for other people too. But for some reason, like, his had this cascading something error. We don't know yet what, because he won't send us his logs and he hasn't looked at them. And he's a busy guy. You know, he's got a family and a wife and kids. And, you know, he's not doing this for a living. He's doing it for a hobby. But so it forked. Now, that is never the end of a coin. Like, people talk about, like, what if someone got... So first of all, once a coin is valuable, the only people that would do that would be governments, because, you know, like, there actually was, or maybe still is, a giant mining pool of Bitcoin that controlled or still controls over 51% of the hashing power of the Bitcoin network. And you have to understand how big Bitcoin is. It is all the computers together running Bitcoin in people's homes and on servers are the largest supercomputer in the world times 100. Picture that. Like, you know, what the government can do with unlimited your money and, you know, like, all the best scientists, or most of them, and, you know, kidnapping basically really smart hackers by, like, you know, threatening them with 100 years in prison and saying, you can come work for us and you won't do any time or much time. Or they let them go to prison for a year or two, and after they've been beat up and raped and have their teeth broken out, then they say, come work for us, you know, and help us bust your friends, and they do it. So, you know, Bitcoin is this giant proof. It's proof of anarchy, really, because anarchy in the pure, beautiful, wonderful sense of the world does not mean chaos. It doesn't mean there are no rules. It means there are no laws, and they're voluntary to participate in a particular part of the anarchy. So Bitcoin has extraordinarily perfect rules for the most part, except a few things that are solved by our coin and other coins in that small galaxy, Cryptonote. But it's amazing. And if one person did this, he's like Einstein level. If Satoshi's really one person, or even, you know, a group of people, they're amazing. But it is a self-regulating system that's amazing, and just amazing. That's amazing. It works unbelievably well with, you know, no one can control it. And there are no laws, but there are rules, is what I'm saying. And that's the definition of anarchy, one of them. So, but, you know, this mining pool had 51% of the mining power. Mining pools generally make between 1% and 2% of, you know, like, you join a mining pool, you do better, you have a better chance of getting a block than solo mining. And the mining pool takes between, you know, 1% and 3% of what you mine. And it's done automatically. There's people, like, running it, but there's software you can run a pool on. And this guy's was misconfigured and was getting away with it. So the worry, you know, with Bitcoin that somebody, this group of people, you know, this pool that's run by probably five guys, you know, like, they could suddenly start double spending Bitcoin. They could suddenly, like, change the rules of Bitcoin. But the thing is, they have a big incentive not to, because these guys are probably multi millionaires and making more every day. Why would they wreck that? You know, first of all, why would they quit making millions of dollars a year, you know, for basically, like, running a website, running a computer server, or a few of them? And secondly, like, if they wrecked Bitcoin, they better really be sure of their anonymity, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who'd want to kill them who have the resources to have them killed. the reason you guys can't mine is probably, did you check your hashing rate?
Yes, it's very low.
What is it?
It's in the 20s.
Okay, well, I have a laptop that's 30, between 30 and 35, and it's still getting blocks. So, did you mine today?
I've been mining all day.
Okay, because I had one that I have my desktop computer, which I can't mine with all the time, except when I'm asleep, is like 145, and it's doing well still. And but the one downstairs is 30 to 35 hash rate per second, hashes per second, and you know it's getting a block every like 4 hours or something, a block of 8.7 Bitcoin. I don't know what's wrong, other than it could be something with it could be that you don't have your ports open. I mean, generally it should open them. Did you get like an error message from a Windows warning like do you authorize this blah 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 when you installed the software?
I think originally, but I just had to allow access. So
okay, that's pretty common with new software that the antivirus companies and Microsoft don't know yet. They don't call them viruses, but they're like, I don't know what this is. Also, sometimes mining software is flagged as viruses by overzealous antivirus because there are viruses that like mine on a bunch of people's computers without them knowing and really slow down their computers and then send the it's always Bitcoin. No one's going to do that for an altcoin. There's none that are worth enough yet. So it could be that usually with the Microsoft warning, you get a choice like open this for, public networks like
stop breathing, like China.
Coffee shops. And then like what? Like I didn't hear you. What?
What? You're breathing.
You're so busy talking about Bitcoin, I had to take over your role. I yelled at Chandler for breathing.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, God, this audio Nazi thing is going to my head. I'm sorry, Chandler. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm so sorry.
That was a good thing.
I was like, whoa, wow.
You truly are.
By the way, I have an aside here. I was talking about the people that tried to buy an ad with Bitcoin on the Freedom Fiends, an ad, it was a joke ad, but it was an ad for their podcast, but it sounded like an ad for the Silk Road plus not just drugs, but weapons and, like weapons of mass destruction. And I'm like, I'm not going to run that ad. I'm just not going to do it. But somebody asked me like, so why didn't you talk about the audio of the ad? Here, I will say this now, with very few exceptions, if I talk about some audio on this podcast, on this radio show, and I don't say it had bad audio, it probably had acceptable audio. And this had acceptable audio. All right, which meant it didn't hurt my ears and I can understand what they're saying. It's pretty low bar. Why don't people get that? All right, so what's your next question? Okay, I didn't finish your question about mining. It's possible that you didn't... click both things. Like the default, there's two things you have to click, like allow for public. Like it's asking you if you're at a coffee shop, do you want to allow for there? And the other one is private networks, meaning your home system. And that's not clicked. You have to click that. So what I'd recommend doing, you did? Okay. I don't know. You're cursed. So what about you, Lisa?
Well, I haven't tried again since the day that what day did this actually start? It was like 2 days ago.
Sunday.
Right?
Sunday at midnight.
Yeah, Sunday. I haven't tried since, I guess, Monday. So tomorrow I'll try again. Yeah, and I'll check the hash rate. I'm using a brand new machine for it.
Okay, make sure there's a fan, an extra fan blowing under and over your computer because you will burn one up mining. It uses like 60 to 70% of your CPU and gets really hot. So really, I have a quick request here for anyone who really knows this stuff and really knows what they're doing. I would like a few people to email me who are willing to, who know how to do this, who are willing to, and I'll send you the links, to check the block height, show it block height, means the number of like, it gets higher every whatever. So to check the block height regularly, a few times a day, I want a few people doing this, of this guy's pool and also of your wallet. And I want an email immediately or even a phone call if you have my number of like if it gets more than one or two out. It can be one or two apart because of, caching and like, refreshing of things on the internet. But if it gets more than like two apart, I want to know immediately. So email me if you're willing to offer that voluntary service for Bitcoin. All right. Do you have another question? We're almost out. We got a minute here, but go ahead. Then we'll be back, but go ahead.
The link you sent with the new Windows GUI wallet.
GUI, yes. Graphical user interface instead of typing arcane commands like a nerd. Yeah.
Yes. Can I use the how-to on that as well? that's on the bitcoin.org website?
Well, there's no, you cannot mine with the GUI wallets. They're only for sending and receiving.
Okay.
4, 6, 3, 8, 4, 6, 4. Yeah, so there.
All right.
But yeah, some of it applies. You should read the GUI anyway. Oh, it looks like the pool's down. Maybe you took it down. All right. Well, we'll have more when we get back. We'll have news. All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
So, yeah. We got a free segment to, like, talk without the board. He does. He monitors. He's the central scrutinizer.
Probably a good idea. Can't blame him for that.
So, I don't know. I guess if we get that free segment, there's been something on my mind. The whole election nonsense that is occupying so many people's attention, and you know, we're all gonna die because it's Trump or it's Clinton and whatever, you know, everyone's anti, I'm anti this, I'm anti that, no one's for anything, and it makes me sad. And I'm actually working on a piece right now about that. I posted the song this morning by Marilyn Manson called 1996, which is just anti this, anti that, and It rings so true, and I really truly believe that history repeats itself. I think yesterday I posted the song World Destruction by Afrika Bambaataa, because that was on my mind. But I've had this idea for formulating in my head for a while, and I know a lot of people have done it, but we have like all these Facebook friends that we talk to about this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. And I went to my 20-year high school reunion a couple weeks ago, which was interesting to say the least. Mm. And I basically just talked with this one guy that I, you know, kind of, you know, I consider him a friend. I haven't talked to him in years, but he's a cool guy. Kind of constitutionalist, vet, whatever. And, you know, I gave him Hologram of Liberty. I brought that book for him specifically. I was like, you got to read this book. After you finish this book, you'll be one of us. And, yeah, he's really cool. And we got talking, and I said, you know, I'd like to take all my local Facebook friends that are of similar mind, like mind. You know, they don't have to be anarchists or anything like that, but, you know, similar mind. And I'd like to do like a physical meetup group, like maybe once or twice a month, you know, go and we can do it at somebody's house. You can do it at a club, a bar, you know, Hobbitland, whatever. And, you know, have a few brews and chat about this, that, and the other thing. And I don't want to just talk politics and what's going on in the world. I want to talk about, hey, you know, I've had success with, you know, gardening this way, or I've had success with building this type of, you know, whatever. I want to learn and exchange skills, because we're such a diverse group of people. You know, we have so many different friends with so many different talents and skills and knowledges and life experiences. Why aren't we sharing that? Why aren't we creating this voluntary cooperative, which eventually, you know, if you have the system in place of a good set of friends, and we've talked about this before, but mm-hmm. when things get rough, you know, if you have this system in place, you have friends that you can call on and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. Do you think you could help me out? And, you know, I can do this for you in return. And you know, you don't have to do anything in return. You know, some people are just cool. They'll help you out. But yeah. I really think that's important. So I think not to tell people what to do, but instead of spending all your time trying to convert people to your ideology and arguing on Facebook and Twitter and websites and everything, maybe take 10%, 20% of that time to gather some like-minded individuals and have, you know, sit down face-to-face, have a conversation, you know? I mean, our Fiend fans, I just found out he lives not far from me. And we had talked about this a few months ago, and he sent me a message on Facebook, and we ended up talking on Telegram, which is a great messaging app. Mm-hmm. And we had discussed this, and he's like, yeah, man, I'd totally be for, you know, meeting up sometime. And this cat, man, he's got some stuff going on, you know. He knows how to build stuff, and he's a, you know, outdoor living kind of guy, so... Yeah.
Ah, excellent.
More of that. That's what we need, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I've been to a meetup here with a bunch of Maryland like-minded folks, and I kind of have an idea of what some of them are good at and, you know, what their skills are, but we probably should implement more discussion about that in future meetups when we have them.
Yeah.
We don't have them often enough.
I can talk a lot. Is that a skill?
Sometimes. It depends.
I know about computers and I can talk a lot.
That's good. The computer knowledge is excellent. Unless, you know, the grid goes down. And then...
Yeah, exactly. This is why I want to learn other skills.
Yeah.
You know.
You can roll cigarettes.
I'm damn good at that.
Yeah.
Well, that comes handy in a lot of situations. Prison, right. I think, as well.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, you know... I was thinking, even though I'm going to be quitting, I might still roll some up and have some tobacco on hand. That's good currency.
See, it is, definitely.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
I got an elliptical for $20 on a long
trip. Okay, nice.
Yeah, wow. It's pretty easy to find used exercise equipment. I've actually even sold some because it's pretty common for people to go, one of these days, I'm going to get organized. And go buy, like, the treadmill. And, you know, they end up using it a few times, like, you know, like every other day for a month. And then every... other week for a month, and then they're using it as a coat rack, and then finally, you know, their significant other says, you know,
it's taking up space.
I really appreciated your attempt, honey, but yeah.
Well, hey, like February, March is a good time to check, you know, online for or yard sales. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, any of my main peeps out there listening, if you guys see a treadmill for a reasonable price, let me know, because I need one. That elliptical thing, man, yeah, it gives you a workout, and it's nice, but it kind of sucks. I got to admit. Like, I'll try to read a book while I'm on that, and I don't know, man. I like the treadmill better.
You need to play music. Play your music. I pictured you on there with a cigarette, like, hanging out of your mouth.
Well, I tried that the first day. It didn't work. I was like,
I know.
Because I used to go to the gym, right? And now I have one in my house. I'm like, wow, I could smoke and drink and do whatever while I'm doing the elliptical. But it doesn't work well. So.
Cigarette can spawn out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did fix my bicycle, though. And I've been out for a couple of bike rides. And that's fun. Now, it's like... Sadly, fall is already starting to set in at Maine. Like, the last few nights have been fall weather nights. So, but it makes for a good bike ride. I will say that.
Yeah, I'm all right. Ready for that.
All
yeah.
right, I'm ready for talking about good news, which is...
Oh, you're ready.
All right.
Ding dong.
Ding dong, the wicked Bip Witch is dead, and I just turned the turn.
Bip Witch.
Yeah, so...
is that a sandwich?
The guy closed down his pool, so I'm gonna revert my... And I'm not calling him a bad guy. He's a good guy. He means well, but... This thing with the split started happening again. I think he's in my time zone. I was thinking he's... Hey, someone's echoing. Turn down your feed. I was thinking he's in my time zone because last night this started right around midnight, and tonight it started right around midnight. You know, it might have started at midnight, but we didn't notice it till quarter after. Luckily, this time it only got 5 blocks out of sync, and I got a hold of him. He wasn't asleep yet. Last night, it was. I had a frustrating, like, nail-biting night. And now I wouldn't if this happened again with someone else, because I know, like, that it doesn't mean the end of your coin. But, you know, so, and I would recognize it instantly now. So there was something wrong with the configuration in his pool software. The good news is, you guys can all go back to solo mining. Like, there's not, you know... like 51% of the hash rate of the system through his pool competing with you. There's going to be fast grabbing of blocks for several days here now until some other pool comes on. But so what the fork means, it doesn't, like, we keep the real fork. What it means is, like, miners who mined on his system that got forked won't be able to spend their Bitcoin. And the error messages you guys have been getting are probably people trying to spend the non-working, you know, bips from his fork. It just hit me. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that'll probably taper off and then stop.
Okay.
Yeah. But he shut it down, which is great. You know, like, shut down everything. But he actually, like, last night I asked him to do that. I was like, dude, I think you should shut this down. He's like, no, I can make this work. The guy's a good guy. He wasn't doing it intentionally. He just, you know, it's also like crypto note coins are kind of an unknown. They only been around 2 years, and, like, you know, it's vastly different than Bitcoin. So, and he's used to running pools of altcoins based on Bitcoin. So there. So yes. I think there might be some kind of, like, you know, Y2K, mini Y2K bug nightly at midnight 01 in his setting up of his software, you know.
I blame the government.
So, I blame the government too. So everyone go back to mining. What I'd actually like now is, well, I was going to say, someone to keep an eye on that IP address to make sure that he doesn't start it up again, but if he did, he'd probably use a different IP. Maybe not. I don't know. No, because he's not trying to do anything crazy. He just did something crazy, you know.
Yeah.
He had just enough knowledge to be dangerous. Sometimes. That's what it comes down to. Yeah, so... And so, do you guys have any more questions about cryptocurrencies or Bitcoin? Or should I let you talk about what it... Am I hijacking you at this point? I wasn't listening.
No, of course. It's good, because... Go ahead, Jeremy.
You know, yes, you were hijacking us.
I will say this. The miner... And I started recommending yesterday, after we figured this out, for people to not use the pool. I didn't say, like, you know, this guy's bad, don't use his pool. I said, like, you know... There's no pool right now that we can recommend. That's what I said publicly everywhere. So, you know, people, he was probably promoting it on some site I don't know about. And, you know, people were going on it. I mean, only had, like, I don't know, he had 10 miners, I think, or 20 at the biggest point. But he did have 51% of, you know what I think it is? I think it's whenever he reaches 51% of the hash rate, the problem starts. Of the whole system. So he's gone. Get in there and mine, people. Gentlemen and ladies, start your mining engines. But yeah, people are bipped off. This is a term someone everyone that mined for days or you know, a day that's not going to be able to spend their bips is bipped off now. Yeah.
I almost forgot.
Go ahead, Lisa. Yeah.
Well, how do you know when you've got blocks?
You do get a, like, you know, block caught at blah, blah, blah. You know, you caught Pokeblock. Like
that. I kind of figured, but I wanted to ask.
No, but the real way to tell is it's really simple. In wallet, type balance, and spell it correctly with only one L, balance, and then hit enter. And it'll tell you two things. One is your unconfirmed balance, and one is your confirmed balance. And the confirmed balance, the first one, is the spendable part. The It's not called that. Let me see what it's called. Okay, it's balance.
Can you do that while you're mining?
Yeah. Okay. You can also back up while you're mining, too, to another computer, which you really should do regularly. Right. You know, but you don't have to do it regularly, because it actually, like, you know, you could probably do it every 100 transactions or something. We don't really know yet what it'll be. Like, with Bitcoin, it's every 100 transactions. Because, like I said, the coin are not on your computer. They're on the blockchain, which is everywhere, out in the cloud. And, But your proof that you own them, that you own that amount of it, that your computer solved that amount of the problem, is on your computer. And you have to back up two files. It's name whatever you named your wallet, .wallet, and whatever you named your wallet, .address. And you can even, like, drag those and copy them while you're mining. It still backs it up. And, you know, like I said, like, I can check other computers I have mining in other parts of the house by having that upstairs in my office. So,
Cool.
I mean, if I had your private keys, I could even, and your password, I could check your wallet and siphon it.
Oh, wow.
So keep that stuff
that's
close
reassuring.
To your,
yeah.
Right.
Well, it's reassuring. It's scary in a way, but the only alternative is trusting it to a central authority. Like a bank. Like, you know, if your bank gets hacked, your bank will, you know, sort of bail you out, or the FDIC will, or whatever, sort of, but not immediately. And governments are trying to put regulations in place to do that. Like, for instance, you can't even legally, what?
Huh? I was going to say, banks are starting to get on board with the whole alternative currency, digital coin thing, and they want to create their own systems now.
They do, but they're going to be centralized like Steam. Steam is not decentralized like Bitcoin, and I'm not gonna bash Steam like I was, especially now that I have something out. You know, I don't want people thinking it's sour grapes, because they're not doing well. They have a large valuation, but it's, you know, it's synthetic and it may not last. I'm not going to call it a Ponzi scheme, but they did pre-mine like 75%, and people are realizing that. Like, that's getting out. So, right. But yeah, banks are trying to create their own private blockchains that they control, you know, that will have all of the crap that banks have. So, you know, really your choices are like, and that'll just be like banks. And really, it's like, there are advantages to banks using blockchains. There's disadvantages too, like, you know, they're public, but they'll try to make them not public. You know, they'll try to governmentize something cool. Like, whenever somebody comes, there are things you can do on blockchains. Like, there's a lot of uses for them other than currency and exchanging, you know, amounts of currency, you know, because Bitcoin is like, it's weird because it's, stop tapping, whatever that is. It's weird because it's like, whatever it is, it's a form of money, but it's also the transmission service for the money in one, you know, which is kind of unique, but kind of unique. It's kind of not because, go ahead.
Well, I'm just kind of curious because I'm still learning about all this stuff. And how is competition going to drive the creation and value of all these different coins?
Well, part of the beauty of it is that I wouldn't say anybody can create their own cryptocurrency, but anybody with, you know, one or two really smart programmer friends like Derek Slopey and Brian Gordon, you know, who have time to devote to it. And I got to give a shout out and a kudos to those guys, because they have been, like, you know, they built this pretty quick. You know, Brian actually did a lot of it because Derek was, like, incommunicado at Jackfest. Like, he couldn't even get a phone call, let alone get on the internet very easily. You know, he had some internet. Like, he was bringing internet. He was the internet there. Like, there's, you know, but it was sketchy because of where it is. It's in the middle of nowhere. So, then when he got home, he jumped on this, and it's been like literally over 100 emails a day back and forth between the three of us every day. And last night it was like 200 emails overnight, and we lost sleep over it. And these guys have 9-to-5 jobs and, like, wives and kids. And, you know, are taking time to, like, you know, that none of them yet have said, I'm too busy for this, Michael, you know. And if they did, God bless them, you know, I'd make it work. I'd find someone else. But I don't want to find someone else. I love those guys. They're great to work with. They're great people. They're straight up voluntarists. They understand the things that we understand. And they're the perfect people to do this. And I tip my bip at them. Wait, that sounds wrong. But Chandler, to like I didn't really finish answering your other. I really want to underline the thing of like, you know, yeah, it's scary that if someone steals your private keys, which are two little files, and your password, they can siphon your coin, whatever it is. But the only alternative is trusting someone else with your stuff, you know?
Right, to manage it for you.
And that's what Mt. Gox was. Remember Mt. Gox? It was the It was an exchange for Bitcoin, but it was also a place for like people that were too stupid or didn't want to bother like setting up their own wallet. Like you set up an account there, like any other website, and they held your wallet, and they lost or stole like an ungodly amount of millions of dollars. People lost all their money, and people talked about a bailout for that too. Like, oh, bailouts? Come on, that's not our way. I'm not bailing out the miners that lost money on this guy. I didn't know him. It wasn't my guy.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
But tell us how the Freedom Fiends slowly faded into the Bitcoin podcast. Yeah, one night, people had questions on the show, and I said, we'll talk about it for two segments, and it ended up most of the show, except when I stopped to go kill the pool. And here's the thing, like, you know, people could say, like, what if someone came along with, you know, giant hashing power and threw it at your fledgling coin that doesn't have that much backing it yet? You know, they could steal the fork, but they couldn't wreck the coin, because it's like, you know, yeah, they could fork the thing and make their own blockchain of it, but it wouldn't be Bitcoin, and people wouldn't accept it. All it would do is screw up miners that were stupid enough to jump on it, you know? So I would just say solo mine for now, forever. And if someone starts another pool, I think we'll do is make a testnet chain, which is like, it's the blockchain of our coin, but like with a couple numbers different, so it doesn't interfere with the actual one. And then just, test it for a few days to make sure it's okay.
Sure.
You had questions about mining computers, huh?
Yeah. So I was thinking about pulling out my old gaming computer. It's a quad core with 16 gigs of RAM, full tower. So I think it's got six fans in the cases. And I had asked you if you think I'd need another fan.
And my answer, and this is really important, look at the pictures on at bipcoin.org. Scroll down about three quarters down the how to and download page, and there's pictures of how to put fans on both a desktop and laptop computer so you don't burn them up mining. And there's actually on the front page of the website, every time you hit refresh, a different random text phrase comes up, and I made up there's like 20 of them in there, and I keep adding one every day or so when someone says something funny. And there's still one in there, it's like, reason number 32 to mine Bitcoin: the fans drowned out my tinnitus, which is true. And reason number 33 to mine Bitcoin: the fans drown out the noise, the voices in your brain. Yours, not mine.
All right, they don't really, though.
So here's what I said during the break, and I'll say this, you know, I don't want people burning up their computers trying to mine our coin, you know, because this is like Dogecoin. It's the first coin in a long time where, like, a lot of people who've never mined anything are jumping on it. That's why this is good. That's another reason this is good. But it's for dark coins. It's like for the truly anonymous, blah, blah, blah. And there's actually an anonymity level in the coin, like in the CLI wallet, it's the mix in, you know, and like over three is anonymous, and the same thing in the GUI wallet, it's called like anonymity level, and there's a slider from 0 to 10, and over three is anonymous, and higher is better. The problem is with higher, sometimes the transaction won't go through, and you'll have to try it again with a lower number once, and that's basically because it depends on how many people are actually transacting to mix with within that block. You know, within that period of a couple minutes or whatever. So, yeah. So,
you know what might be helpful?
What?
For us 65 and 5 year olds that still don't get it.
Yeah.
Is there a video on YouTube or something that can explain cryptocurrencies and crypto coins?
Yeah, there's a million of them. But the best ones are like, you know, just search how does Bitcoin work on YouTube and pick the video that has millions of views. That's the one you want to watch. There's a couple of videos on there that are like, you know, like cartoony graphics and well-produced, good audio, you know, quiet background music that doesn't interfere. You can understand. Us old people can understand what they're saying. And they explain it like you're five without being condescending. Just, you know, search. I'll put that in the show notes right there.
Cool.
No, I won't. You could Google it, Grandpa.
What?
We'll find it.
Yeah. All right. So, any more questions? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Is that picture of the laptop on? But is that upside down with the fan pointing on it?
Yes. And the reason for that is because that fan I have won't tilt all the way over to get under it, so I had to turn it over so the vents, so the air gets in the vents.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But it's still. Oh, you just have it not to set to go to sleep at all if you have it closed like that? Because mine always ends up shutting itself off if I have it like that.
No, you can change it in the settings under power. You have to change it to not do any. It turns off the screen. It turns off the screen, but it doesn't turn off the hard drives ever. That's how you said it. Oh, I should put that in the. Thank you. I'll put that in the FAQ.
Yes.
There you go.
Worms.
Yeah.
Worms.
Well, worms. I'm gonna go get myself a better fan.
I'm up all night. Email me. Try manning right now with a box fan on it, and let me know if it works.
I'm gonna do that. Yeah. Actually, because I have one sitting in my kitchen. So.
Yeah. I'll be up for all night, man. I'm rested. Email me your Bitcoin questions, people. I'm here all night.